Accession number 12711, Mr. Tommy Thompson, reel 7.
Mr. T. Thompson, reel 7. What other memories of Normandy have you got, Mr. Thompson?
Right. Well, there was another place after that do we had. It was just as rough. As a matter of fact, it was in... I forget the name of it now, but it was in cornfields. We had across a big cornfield. And it was a blaze, the shells, you know. It was, they were dropping the shells and they were setting fire to the corn. And we had advance in this. And we lost a lot of men there. And that was another one where we had to come back and identify the dead. I can remember that one, that battlefield, very well. Because I tell you what happened there. When me and another lad, well, it was two or three of us, had to go back. After it was over, like, to identify the dead and take them to the paddery, to the clearing station. And we all got strafed by the Americans. Aye. We were... kind of stretcher. It was a thought with the Germans, you know. Well, we had to drop the, because they were dead, like, drop them and dive in a hole in a slit trench. They were softness, these Americans, Yankees, you know. Yeah. And we took these, I remember taking them to the paddery. He had a tough job, like. He was taking all the things off and putting them on the blankets, you know. Put in blankets and now you had a full time job. The paddy, of course, you helped by others, like, you know, the medical staff was there, stretcher bearers was helping, but we had to do the dirty work more or less, because we had to identify the men in the platoon who'd been killed. You know, that was that one in the cornfield. And I forget the place that we took now, but...
That cornfield attack, do you remember how the attack went in? Did you move forward with jumping ahead?
Did you move just
in a line?
No. Oh, no, it was spread out. Oh, no, it was all spread out. Oh, aye. Oh, I remember that. As a matter of fact, one of my mates was killed there.
Was it Lee?
Corporal Watson was his name.
Was it leapfrogging or just spread out and walking?
No, not leapfrogging. Gone straight forward. Yeah. Oh, yes, that was bad, that, because there was a... You only had the shells of the chapel to contend with. You had the fires, see? Because all around you was a smoke, and the whole cornfield was ablaze with a chapel. Send fire to it. Eh?
Were the German infantry firing on you?
Yes, they were rather badly. But we took this place. I remember taking it very well.
When you've come through an attack like that and lost so many men, do you ever feel anger that you're sent into that kind of situation in that way?
Yes, you weren't really pleased about it, like. It was... But there wasn't much you could do about it, see? You said, grin about it and keep going forward, which we did. Yes, we had a rough one, that. Very rough. I don't think we had a platoon commander then. I'm trying to think of this. Trying to two, three, you know, they got knocked up quick. I forget his name, though, the one we had.
Did you get any rest when you pulled out of the line?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh.
What happens when you go into that position when you pulled out?
Well, you went, so many of you would go to a rest camp, you know, back by. Insa, entertainment, you know, just for about a couple of days, that's all it was, just a couple of days. And I remember on this one, we were lucky. The fielders that was sent back, because the company get a damn good shelling. 24 hours, non-stop. You know, I would say, Commander, he was coming, he was taken over from us. He was having the rest. And when they were shattered, Humble, Captain Humble, he was always in a terrible state, he bigot. He was, he was a major then.
What do you want to do when you've come out of a very sticky situation? What is the, and coming to rest, what's the first thing you want to do?
A good bath, a good wash, a good feed. Because you were scruffy, you know, because you had to lie with all your clothes on, you know. Oh, you wanted to, you couldn't change your clothes, you just had to shake them up because the knee, you couldn't get a change of clothes, you know. But you got a good wish, like, you know.
And sleep, fatigue, sleep, does that come upon you?
Oh, I sleep, there's time you're when you're down, you can't sleep. For your aunt's sake. Any time you kept awake, you'd doze off, like, you know, but so many used to sleep, and so many was alert.
In the line.
But,
the reinforcements that you must have been getting when you lost men, quality were they?
Well, they were from different regiments at the finish, you know. Some were wounded, we'd been wounded and come back. As soon as anybody got wounded, no matter how small it was, they were sent back to England. Eh? And they weren't long in England before they were back again. Eh? And there were kind of few who got wounded and come back. One of them were trying to think of his damn name, this platoon commander. He got wounded. But he come back. It's Sergeant Hayes, I'm telling about. He got wounded, no, but he was only slight, and he just stopped in, I believe it was Normandy somewhere, you know, hospital there, but he wasn't long before he was back.
Did you feel that as you lost more men and others replaced them, that the quality of the battalion, of the company, was changing?
No, it was still still good. Oh, no. All right, it was still still a good battalion. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, it was never. Of course, you got to look a mixed variety, you know, there's different nationalities, Geordies and Welshmen, Scotchmen.
Did this cause any problems?
No, never. Very rare, we never caused any trouble in our company, you know. Our company was quite safe. We had a lot of watchmen in our company.
Which company were you in now?
D company.
From Normandy, where did you move from Normandy?
Oh, I forget now. I forget the name, what we were. But we went out after Khan, you know. Khan was there and we went pushed away out.
Did you get involved in, or did you see Falaise, where the Germans were trapped as you were pushing on?
Oh, I were pleased that we had them on the run. Oh, yes, by the way. But we got to we had another big battle before we got to Pally, from the show yard. That was getting into Belgium, you know that. We had another battle before that, I'm sure. I was a sergeant then. I made up a sergeant before Folly. Yeah. And this friend of mine, he was made up. He was being killed when he was a sergeant. He wasn't a corporal, he was a sergeant when he got killed.
Who was that?
Watson. Billy Watson. He was in the same company. I mean, he was an old soldier. He came out the first DLI. He belonged to Bishop Auckland.
What are your feelings when your best friends get killed?
Oh, very good. His girlfriend wrote to me, I got the company commander to write to her, I couldn't write to her. I went to the company commander and they sent me command. Captain Griffiths, he was a good lad. Captain Griffiths. He was a Welshman. He started from the bottom, from a private. He's a good bloke.
What makes a good officer?
Why?
From a soldier's point of view.
Why? Let me say now. He looks at things and he winds the form up, and he thinks it didn't be our too regimental, the ones in my opinion, which this one wasn't. Captain Griffiths was quite good. Well, the company commander, he was quite a decent bloke, he wasn't any bullshit about them, He was a good lad though, Captain Griffiths. He was a good leader. Oh, aye, very good. He wasn't afraid to lead his men. He was often in front, no doubt. But when he got sent to command, he had to stop in HQ.
Who was commanding the battalion?
Wood. Then, but he got killed.
And who took over?
Morg, aye.
What was he like?
No, he was good. Aye, good Morg, aye. Aye, Morg was a good fellow, aye. Aye. Well, you met him, you said, didn't you? Aye. Oh, I like Morg. I came to us just when after Wood. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever witness a situation where, because of a man's anger, that he was going to shoot the prisoner, or?
Oh, no. There was only one place, but this happened in Tobruk. This happened in Tobruk when we were going forward, and he got a hold of this Italian, and he said, can I swear? He says, I'll kill you, you bastard. You killed my best friend. Because he was full of rum. But he did. He did kill him. Choked him to death. I was later pull him off. That was in Tobruk, mind. That's the difference. That was the 5th Battalion. Mm-hmm. Well, he went berserk. Because he lost his good mate. The Italian knocked him off.
Were there any other instances? You've mentioned being fired on by American aircraft. Were you ever fired on by your own artillery or guns or whatever?
Old artillery? Oh, no. Just going forward, you might, what do you call a slow barrage? Creeping barrage. You got to be careful there. Because the artillery is always right, which they're not. But they they blame the infantry if you can't tell fast. That's what they would say. Eh? Oh, there was one or two got hit with their own, like, you know, gone forward. But infantry were to, artillery were to blame, oh no. And when they could have been many, they could have had a gun, been fighting too many rounds and dropped short, see? But no, no, that never happened. The artillery men always blame the infantry, gone too fast. Yeah. Oh, aye, that's happened many a time. We used to play in front, like with the artillery, with the 25 pounders, like we used to tell them, you've killed more men than Jerry Steedman, of a phone, you know. With the creeping barrages, because we were in a canopy with them, creeping barrages. They were dangerous and all, you had to be very careful. You had to come to yards, you know. No, aye. No, that was bad, that the creeping barrages.
As a NCO in a fighting unit, if you were held up, did you have the authority to bring artillery fire down or tanks up?
No. Say you were. Platoon commander. No, we had the authority to do that. We could tell the platoon commander's job that. And he hadn't either. He had to get to the CO. Company commander, and he would get onto the phone to the, and they would, we had a one with him, a one used to the artillery man, he was with us all the time, and he would say if there's any trouble, he would get them, right, but I'm trying to think of his job now.
Observation,
that's the word. Observation course. Oh yeah, he used to be with us, the infantry. We used to have mortars. We used to have a sergeant observing. He used to go with the infantry in front. And if there's any trouble, he used to get the mortars, our mortars, local, the battalion. He used to get them onto the positions.
How helpful were they?
Well, they were good. All right. Oh, yes. Well, yeah, either way. Got us out of a stick of jam, to tell me to. Mm-hmm. Right now, it'll be the Folly Gap now. Well, we didn't do a gridlock there. It was farther on, I think, when Gale, that's mine. Because it was the Yankees that won the Folly Gap. Oh, there must have been a terrible all day there, because he was retreating then, he was on the run. And there was horses, with the hundreds. He must have run short of benzene, petrol, Jerry, because he's thousands and thousands of horses pulled wagons, trucks, you know, lying dead. Hundreds of them lying. And this was tale we heard, like, that the Polish, there was that many bodies that had to stop the Polish advancing. They had to stop. They wouldn't run over them, the Polish tanks and wagons. They would stop and shift the bodies. The Polish wouldn't run over them. But the Yankees didn't bust right out the top of them. Flatten them, yeah. But the Polish wouldn't. And there was a lot. Because by the time we got there, they were all gone. They were all cleared away. But the horses lying dead, oh, God. And it was farther on that way, we bumped the trouble, like with Gale. That our battalion, mine was lying in reserve, 9th. 9th battalion was in the 2nd, the 6th, and the 8th. Them two got wrong. Right? Yes, we had to send for a tank to come up to help us out. And he was shelling us a heavy woman from 25 pounders. Not 25 pounders, 88s from his tanks. And whatever yard. And he knocked his tongue out. And we were, it was, the tongue was only about 15 yards away from us. We were well down, like we dug in, we're in the trenches. And we were, 86 foot down. And when we looked up, it was a shell hole, about 10 yards away from where we were, where we'd been, where the trench was. In the tank. We got at the tank and there's a shell. And look, the tank driver was head was blown off. The shell had gone round and took his head off. I don't know what happened to the crew, mind, because we didn't get up. We were stuck down in the hole for a while. And they were doing all the fighting, like the tank, the old tank. There was a machine gun there. And there was two or three was running away from the battlefield, wounded. One had half a foot off, and he still running. He said, "We've terrible buck there," he says. But that was the 8th, I think it was the 8th battalion. They were, well, they got wrong there. On the 6th.
Were you watching this action?
Across
the canal?
Aye. No, not the canal. We went to the canal then. But it was somewhere in Gale. No, we went to the canal. We drowned about the canal out there, see?
Did you get involved yourselves?
No, we didn't. No. Just the tank. No, we didn't get involved there. As I say, we were in reserve. But he was... he must have seen us, because he was... He thought we were going to come forward and all, you see. And he sent his 88 hour. And this tank come up and but he knocked him out. But they'd all gone. We never saw them again. But the wounded took them away. But that was the end of that. We our battalion didn't see much of that. As I said there, the 6th and 8th, they were forward all the time. They went, that was September, early September, that.
Where did you go next?
That's what I'm trying to think. Well, we were already sitting in there, moving up. When we see all these planes coming over. And we had no idea what it was then. But eventually we did get to know that was Arnhem. You know, there was hundreds of them. And we were classed as Market Garden. We had our advance. That was, Nijmegen was one of the bridges that we had to take before we got to the bridge too far. Where the paratroopers had dropped. We had to get there. Well, it was, as I said, pretty too far. And we just couldn't make it. We didn't get there. As you know about the history. We had a lot of battles there. We had one or two battles. And we bumped the enemy like, but the 22nd Armoured Brigade, they were well in front of us, you know. We were, 50 deep was behind. There was a kind of few more divisions in there. There was a Scottish division in and all. The Tyneside Scottish. No, not the Tyneside Scottish, but... So, the 15 Scottish, they were there. And, well, I was a sergeant then, and we went, we kept going forward, like, doing little bits of assaults, little bits of jobs, and then we went to work. This was near the end for me. It was October. We won a big attack in Bemmel, our brigade. The 6th Battalion had to take the factory. And we had to take the Bemel, the village, you know. And we all lined up, you know. And that was when I had to get some of the lads out. Mind, they were, some of the lads wouldn't come out. So I had to get them, try and get them forward.
Did you get them moving?
No, I got them out on the move, you know. And
how did you do it?
Well, I went them back. I didn't go back because they were hiding just as we were going forward. And I said, "Hey, forward. You don't want to let the platoon down." And they came out, like, and we went forward. And that was where I got wounded, Demo, October.
And how did that happen?
Shelling, 88, shrapnel. Well, they took us back to...
Where were you wounded? Whereabouts?
Both there. Both calves and the hip. Shrapnel.
Were you moving forward when it happened?
Oh, I was going forward. But I didn't get to the position. I was blown, you know.
Did you fall down?
I was blown down. Not blown down, blown down. I was out.
Did you know immediately that you'd been hit?
I knew I'd been caught all right. I was laying like a stuck pig. They got stretcher bearers come up.
They were called for?
They were always there. They were very far behind, you know, stretcher bearers. And the...
Bleeding heavy, did they try to do anything to stop you?
Oh, I put the field dressing on and one thing like that. And they got us back to the clearing station.
And what happened in the clearing station?
Well, they got, they looked at us, who was the local one, the regimental one. And then they did what they could, like, was on a stretcher all the time, you know. Well, they cut me trousers off, cut them off and bandage up the best. Their ability and put the marks on, the cards on to tell the next one where we'll go to what it was, eh? That's what they do. Tell them what injections that they gave you. And then back to the...
Have they injected you at this stage?
Oh, yes. No. Not then. I went back to...
So you were bleeding heavy.
Aye.
Were you in great pain?
Why? I was numb, really, you know, didn't feel a great lot. I was in pain. But they got us back to Brussels. And then stopped there for a few days. Got the operation there, like.
What did they do in the operation?
Well, they took the shopping out. As a matter of fact, my mother had it for years. And I don't know what she did with it. Big lump of shopping. I kept it for years. They give us it. I'm wrong. They didn't take it out there. They took it out when I got home. In Stourbridge Hospital, in England.
Did you panic? Were you frightened you might lose your leg?
No. No, I didn't panic. No way. No, I didn't.